In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph too went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region, living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord. Good afternoon. As a herald of the gospel, I come before you today to wish you great tidings and joy, because the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Today in the city of David, Christ, our Savior, has been born. So on behalf of myself, Deacon Shavera, Father Kunkel, Father Muse and Bolding, and all the staff here at St. Thomas, we want to wish all of you and all of your families the most merriest and blessed of Christmases. And know that every time we gather to worship and pray, you are welcome here, because this is your home. This is your Father's home. This is where we are real, and this is where we are family. So thank you. Now that probably the last present has been wrapped, the prime rib is in the oven. For you Hispanics, the tamales are on the oven. You probably haven't taken much time to just be. So I want you to take the next 15 to 20 seconds in silence. And I want you to reflect on why you are here and where God has been in your life during this past year. Whatever gift the Lord has given you, ponder, hold that in your heart, because that is a gift. And are you different this year than you were last year? For some of us, it may be in a positive way. For others of us, it may be negative. We may be worse off. What is going on in our lives? What has this year been? It's very easy to go through just the sentimentality of Christmas, of gifts, of family, of coming to church, the music, the carols, the incense. But what is the Christmas story? And what relevance does it have in our lives today, 2018, on the brink of 2019? Think about it. Our world is not too different than it was in the time of when Christ entered. But it's a constant love story that God initiates his love to us out of sheer love because he wants to reconcile. He wants us to be with him. That is why he sent his son. That's why we have this feast of the incarnation. God became man so we could be in cheer in him. So whatever was placed on your heart, maybe it's the death of a spouse, the untimely death of a child, maybe it's a divorce, maybe it's a bankruptcy, infidelity, some addiction. We're all in need of a Savior. But we have good news. Despite what the news says on Fox or CNN, whatever your cup of tea is on that, despite today being the worst day of the stock market ever on Christmas Eve, we still have good news. Because Jesus is so madly in love with us. He invites us to participate fully and accept us, everything that we are, the good, the bad, and the painful. And he wants us to give it to him, to lay it at the foot of that crib. So let's look at the Christmas story. Because I can assure you that Jesus did come historically. He will come in the future, but he comes to us daily. Daily. It's like the experience with the cell phone. I'm going to bring up cell phones in church. Don't pull them out. Don't get on them. But I'm going to bring it up. When we initiate with God, it's like we feel when we need him, we call him on the phone. And we think he's not answering. And we say, where is God in all this? But it's the opposite. He's constantly calling us. And we're declining the call. Or say, may I call you later? Or some other custom message that Apple lets us put in. But he's made present to us every single day. How? How we look for him. We have to look for him in the strangest of places. In the most unlikely places. Why? Because how did he choose to reveal himself to us? He could have came with lightning and thunder and everything else. But he came in an obscure place to show what true power was. The gospel says it was the time of Caesar Augustus, the most powerful man in the world at that time. And he called a census to control and to tax and to draft the people. That's what the census was for, to show his authority. But what does God send? He sends an infant. There are some babies in here, I'm sure. Look at the baby's toes, their fingers. They can't even control their heads. They're bopping all around. They have no control. But that's how our God came to us. By the innocence and power of a baby. He turned the world upside down. Because it is in weakness that we are powerful. Because it's in our weakness and our sinfulness that we recognize that we need a Savior. St. Paul said, it is not me who makes me strong, but Christ who strengthens me in all things. So power. Where are we looking for Jesus? In the most unlikely places. And what does he do? But he meets people where they're at. We're all on different journeys. We all have different experiences. The world will tell us about the powerful, the rich, the wealthy. What type of family did God choose to enter? A 13-year-old little girl, a virgin. And then her spouse. I think the fear that he had of not knowing. But what does she say? Be it done to me according to your word. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. And then they were traveling to Bethlehem. Let's put that. That's like us traveling, Rocky Point, Ajo, and stopping somewhere along the way with an emergency and having no room. Here was God entering this family that had no power, had no wealth, but they had utter dependence on God. They were even fleeing danger and violence. They were refugees. They were migrants going to a foreign land. Where's our reality today? Where do we see Christ in all of our brothers and sisters? Are we open to that? Do we see that? And lastly, the image of what the scripture says. He was placed in swaddling clothes, bound up, not free to do whatever he wants, but bound up and placed in a manger. Why is that important? Because in the mangers were animals ate. See what St. Luke is trying to tell us? That baby now, who was food for the angels, is going to be food for us. Food for us and our divine life. He was going to feed us. More importantly, through his body and blood at the Eucharistic table, but through his word, through each other, through our abilities. So he turned power upside down, meeting our brothers and sisters where they're at, in loving or being service to one another. That's love, willing the good of the other. In doing those three things, understanding those three things, then we understand what the angelic host, the army of angels said on that night, glory to God in the highest and peace to people on earth. That is where we get peace. That is where we get peace in our homes, our families, our businesses, in the church, wherever it is. We must rely on that baby. From the crib to the cross to the resurrection and ascension. That's the Christmas message. That's the Christmas story. Remember, Christmas isn't just tonight or tomorrow, but we have the octave of Christmas, so we celebrate Christmas for 8 days. So on New Year's, if I see you, I still want you to wish me Merry Christmas, because it's still Christmas, the 8th day of Christmas. And I encourage you to whatever the Lord put on your heart during our short meditation, that you take some time, if not within these next 36 hours, but these next 8 days, and sit before your manger scene in your home and your Christmas tree in silence and by yourself, reflecting on what I've asked you to do with the Christmas story and the message. So the Lord will give you a peace that only he can give, that is beyond all understanding. Feliz Navidad.